You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
November the 10th, 2020, now a week since our election, and votes still being counted. And North Carolina, they're going to count right up until Thursday. All of these counts coming in now are not official. The electoral counts being assigned to either candidate are not official. I don't care what the media says. And yes, they did it when Trump won as well, even with Hillary's concession. It was not official. It's not official until the states certify, send it to the Electoral College, and it's decided then, certified by state electors. That's on December 14. States have until December 8 to settle any election disputes. The Electoral College votes December 14. Trump campaign moving to block Pennsylvania from certifying Biden's victory in that state. Why? As I pointed out previously, even those states that are still in the process of counting, that have not been given to either candidate, if all of them went to Trump, it wouldn't really change things based on what he has at this point. Joe Biden has 290 electoral votes based on what we've seen so far. 290. You only need 270. Why is Pennsylvania important? Well, you start taking away some states that give him the 290, things change. You take away Pennsylvania, he's at 270. Still has the right number, but it's not just giving votes to Trump. It's a matter of finding out what states were given unfairly to Biden and need to be reversed. In Arizona, the word is coming down that Joe Biden's lead has been cut by thousands over the course of this last week, and they continue counting. Congressman Doug Collins, a Republican in Georgia, now demanding that state Secretary of State have a full hand count of every ballot cast in each and every county due to questions about allegations of voter irregularities, issues with voting machines, poll watcher access. Now, will any or all of these amount to turning things around for Trump? Can't guarantee it will. It's still an uphill battle. But at least let's have transparency. We're going to spend a lot of time on that in the segment coming up after our news and commentary. In the meantime, Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, said, yeah, we need to get things certified, get final results from places like Georgia, North Carolina. But he said there's no doubt that the Beijing box came in for Joe Biden. He says China has been rooting for Joe Biden throughout this campaign because Biden has a 48-year history of selling out American workers and American jobs to China. Not to mention his son's shady dealings in China. I think he's probably right about that. Oh, you pointed, here's a stick of the eye. I think it may be just a stick of the eye. Has no real, I won't say it doesn't have validity. But we're still in the process of counting. You have to understand that. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says there will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. Yep, stick in the eye for Democrats out there. In the meantime, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says, I will not denounce socialism. I'm going to work with everyone, because she's trying to lock down another term as Speaker. But self-described socialists like Bernie Sanders and AOC and the rest of them say, no, you are going to have to turn the corner with us or you're out of the way. Nancy's trying to hold on to what little bit she has. In the meantime, former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee, admits that, yeah, I would not have signed off on the FISA warrants if I knew then what I know now. I'm not so sure he didn't know then. What about you? And when it comes to COVID and the dangers and the warnings, CNN has been pounding the drum repeatedly that the Trump team is failing, not holding the line. We need to have separation. We need to have masks. CNN anchor Wolf Blitzer reporting on the win by, as declared by Joe Biden. People are in the streets. They're wearing masks, but they're not doing much social distancing, but they're wearing masks. In other words, saying it's okay because they're out there for Biden. In the meantime, a struggling Brooklyn, New York shop employee confronted by authorities over the weekend because she apparently violated some government-mandated restriction measure. She said, I'm a single mom. This is how I raise my family. You can't shut me down. Yeah, but you're Jewish, you're Brooklyn, you might be a Trumper. Yeah, they were looking to make a case example of her. They were acting like I had drugs.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me say one final thing. There were 682,479 ballots counted in Philadelphia, in Allegheny County, that there were no poll watchers allowed to watch. It's the job of the media to ask the question why, because all we are asking for is truth, transparency, and sunlight here. That is all we are asking for. And sadly, we are asking the questions many of you should.
The words of Kayla McEnany, White House spokeswoman, addressing the press, saying, we're asking the questions you should be asking. Join me in just a little exercise briefly here. Let's turn all this around. Let's say this election is as close as it is, only it's Trump that has the upper hand, not Biden. And the Biden team says, well, we were not allowed access to even watch 650,000 ballots as they were counted. We want to know what happened to those ballots. I would say the Democrats are entitled to see what's on those ballots and how they were handled. I don't want their candidate to win, but I want America to win. And there were 650,000 ballots were processed without any poll watchers being allowed to see what was going on. Yes, hell yes, I want them reviewed and counted. And again, I don't care if it hurts my political party. I want what's right for America, free, fair, transparent elections. You're not getting that from the other party. You're not getting that from the other party because, well, they haven't been interested in being fair for a long, long time. I mean, why do you think they quickly look for ways to give driver's license to illegals and then automatically register them as voters, even though they didn't ask to be registered? Why do you think they send out multiple applications to register to vote and are ballots, multiple ballots going out to addresses where people have probably not lived there for years, and four or five other people have now listed that address, and maybe four or five ballots all show up at the same time, are sending them to dead people. There's only one party that's interested in just going whole scale, get every vote we can. Don't worry with the fine details if it's legal. Don't worry about that. Come on, man, as Joe Biden would say. I'm telling you, and I believe most of you would agree, if the situation were reversed, first of all, I want it done, and I want it done fully transparent. But on top of that, the mainstream media would be biting at anything and everything. And yet, Kayla McEnany says, we're doing the job, because it's not the way I said in our little exercise. We're doing the job that you, the members of the media, it's your job, and you're not doing it. And she's very clear, just as I was, about which party is absolutely not interested in fair and legal.
There is only one party in America that opposes voter ID. One party in America that opposes verifying signatures, citizenship, residency, eligibility. There is only one party in America trying to keep observers out of the count room. And that party, my friends, is the Democrat Party.
Absolutely true. Even as we speak, even as I speak to you now, 1 week from the election, four states are still counting. Arizona has electoral votes, 11, I should say. And word is, over the last week, ballots have, the count has been shifted back closer to Trump. Will it be enough to close the gap? I don't know. But again, Arizona was a state, there's no reason it should be close at this point. If you believe Fox News and AP that night of the election, they quickly called it for Joe Biden. Now, by calling that state for Joe Biden, did that encourage others saying, oh, well, you know, let's rush forward, let's be on the winning team? And yet they were ignoring Florida, which had closed its polls hours earlier and had obviously gone to Trump by large numbers, and they couldn't call Florida for a long time because it was going to be a win in the Trump column versus a win in the Biden column. It is as simple as that. And the mainstream media, again, complicit. All right, I said four states. Arizona with 11 electoral votes, they're still counting, and supposedly it's drawing closer. Georgia, they apparently have 99% of the votes in, but they're still going through it. But now, as I said earlier, Congressman, rats, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, in Georgia, leading the Trump team. He says, I want to see a full hand count of every one of them. Congressman Collins, Republican of Georgia, said, I demand the Secretary of State have a full hand count of each ballot in each and every county because of questions about voter irregularities, issues with voting machines, poll watcher access. Again, what's wrong with that? Let's just get it right. That state has consistently voted Republican since 96, and now it supposedly went to Biden. And, of course, don't forget, Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor, still thinks that she got cheated in her election. She still considers she's the actual governor. And they did do a retabulation for her, and it didn't come out the way she wanted. And no one had a problem with the Democrats challenging that in Georgia at the time. Oprah Winfrey had gone in and campaigned for her, and they all wanted to see her win, become the first black woman governor of Georgia. And they were pulling all the stops out. Well, she didn't win. They contested, they checked it, and she still didn't win. I had no problem with them contesting and checking it at that point. I want the facts. I want what's legal. North Carolina again. North Carolina, 15 electoral votes. Now, Trump claimed early Wednesday he had won. Now there's a question if it's that close. And at last report, there are still some votes being counted. And in North Carolina, they have said, we're going to give our counties until Thursday. What is today? Tuesday? Monday? Tuesday? When did the two more days to come in with the numbers. Why? Is it because they're waiting to see which way the weather vane is pointing regarding these legal suits already filed? Alaska's still out. And we're told that And, of course, no Democrat has won in Alaska for decades. It's only three electoral votes. But every vote will count. And every electoral vote will count. But they still don't have their act together yet either. They're claiming, oh, our logistics and all this stuff. McCain telling members of the press, and I use the term loosely, most of them were wearing the, quote, label press, wouldn't even be accepted at a laundromat or laundry to press your cleaning and your clothing. But they consider they are members of the Fifth Estate. They're bought and paid for by the Democrat Party in most cases. Make no mistake. But here's her statement on why we fight.
You don't take these positions because you want an honest election. You don't oppose an audit of the vote because you want an accurate count. You don't oppose our efforts at sunlight and transparency because you have nothing to hide. You take these positions because you are welcoming fraud and you are welcoming illegal voting. Our position is clear. We want to protect the franchise of the American people. We want an honest, accurate, lawful count.
It's as simple as that. Lawful count. There was a morning consult and political poll that got released. 70% of Republicans believe the 2020 election was neither free nor fair. A majority of both Democrats and Republicans appeared to believe the election would be free and fair before the votes were counted, but impressions changing radically. Political reporting. Multiple news organizations announced Biden as the election winner on Saturday after 4 days of counting in several swing states. Following the news, 70% of Republicans now say they don't believe the 2020 election was free and fair, a stark rise from the 35% of GOP voters who held similar beliefs before the election. In other words, twice as many Republicans said that couldn't be free and fair at this point. And it added in their survey, Politico stating, trust in the election system grew for Democrats. Many took to the streets celebrating Biden's victory. 90% of Democrats now say, yes, it was free and fair. Going into November 3rd, only 52% thought it would be. Among Republicans who believe that the election was not free and fair, 78% believed mail-in voting led to widespread voter fraud. 72% believe ballots were tampered with. Both, of course, have been expressed by President Trump in one of his Twitters. Like Trump, a majority of the folks thought the election was unfair overall, 84%. Saying it was unfair to benefit Biden. I understand that going into the election, those on either party might have had a different view of if it's going to be fair. And then when your team loses, you suddenly say, well, it wasn't fair. Or your team wins. Absolutely, it was fair. I can't help going back to sports analogy for all of this. It's just so fitting. It's so fitting, as I've said before, Biden Saturday night, when once they got those numbers, they were always saying we're going to wait until the official count. He didn't get a concession from Trump. There was no official, nothing official, just what the media reported, how the states went, and he suddenly declared victory. All right, he can do that, but it's still not official. It wasn't official when Trump did it early in the morning on November 9th in 2016, even after Hillary called and conceded, it still was not official. Still had to be checked and verified. What is the problem with having honesty? Again, McEnany.
We want maximum sunlight. We want maximum transparency. We want every legal vote to be counted, and we want every illegal vote to be discarded. Unlike our opponents, we have nothing to hide. The integrity of our election matters. The Constitution of the United States matters. What we have seen across the country is Democrat officials systematically trying to do an end run around the Constitution to tip the scales of the election in their favor.
And to that extent, Article 25 of the Constitution says that states set their election procedures. As to how they get there, they all have to be reported by December 8th. For federal elections, but up to that point, they can do what they want. And therefore, you have in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court ruling that, yeah, we're going to extend the deadline already set by the legislature. That is not ruling on legality. That's passing law. And yes, that's a good reason to challenge that. It is not a matter of for Democrats or for Republicans. It is for, as McCain says, it is for America.
This election is not over. Far from it. We have only begun the process of obtaining an accurate, honest vote count. We are fighting for the rights of all Americans who want to have faith and confidence, not only in this election, but in the many elections to come.
And there are those elections to come. Critical elections. Long Island, the guy that organized a caravan rally in support of President Trump, says we're not ending our rallies. We're not going to stop. We're going to do more of them. The silent majority is going to be known. We're going to be public. We're going to put more people in the cars. We're going to have bigger rally. We're going to continue the rallies. Good for them. And then their attitude is, let's don't be depressed, frustrated, and go off and cry. Let's continue fight for what's right. And what's right is what's legal, period. Now, you have a fight building inside the Democrat Party. Nancy Pelosi is saying, I will not denounce socialist, but I won't really sign on. I mean, she's walking the plank best she can. One Missouri congressman says Pelosi's trying to hold the line, but he's not sure she can. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Nancy Pelosi has kept things going, and I think some of the reason people, some of the people wanted to go are the people who are way out in another little region, and they would like for her to go out there, and she realizes that if she does, we're going to lose seats because the country, I would say middle center left. You'd probably say center right, but for sure it's center.
That is Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, 5th Congressional District of Missouri. That includes the southern three-fourths of Kansas City and all the cities south of the Missouri River, several rural counties as well. Member of the Democrat Party, in fact, at one time served on the as chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. Elected to Congress in January 2005. And he's saying, Nancy's trying to help hold us to be what middle center, as he says. They don't want, he doesn't want to be pushed far, far to the left. He said, it will not fly in my district. My people don't want that. I don't want that. Well, Nancy Pelosi, what are you going to do? In 2019, in a 60 Minutes interview, Pelosi said socialism, quote, was not the view of her party. Now that Biden apparently has won, if you're going to believe the pronouncements, and we're still investigating and inquiring, counting, where does Pelosi stand? Well, she's been requested numerous times as to where do you stand on socialism now? She's refusing to denounce socialism now because she's worried about that left wing of the party, that Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders group. And she's trying to lock down votes because Pelosi wants to hold the gavel again as Speaker of the House. She barely survived last time. It's going to be tougher this time. But she's doing her best because she wants to be the leader of the House, especially if Joe Biden is president. She does not want to leave now if Biden's going to be president. But even Biden has had some questions and doubts about the full socialist agenda. He did during the debates. He has since. He keeps talking about trying to bring everybody together. And yet at the same time, members of his own party saying, you're not going to bring us together. You're trying to make peace and go along to get along. That's not going to work. Of course, Trump and many others have labeled Biden as a Trojan horse. He ran because that was the one guy that apparently could win, maybe. And he put Kamala Harris on as his VP. And she's there not to be vice president. She signed on to be president. Make no mistake about that. If you think she's going to be happy being VP for even 4 years, even a year, you better wake up. And yes, she will push the socialist agenda. During a recent 60 Minutes interview just before the election, she was asked, will you push a socialist or progressive perspective as vice president? And she did that kind of laugh. Oh, no. If she'd been on a lie detector, it would have blown up in her face. Liar, pants on fire. No, she would definitely push that progressive perspective. Now, that's dealing with the House. What about in the Senate, where Bernie Sanders will try to get things done, and Chuckie Schumer, Senator Manchin of West Virginia, Democrat, says, I'm not going to play that game with you guys. You want to hear what he says. He's putting himself on the firing line. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I commit to you tonight, and I commit to all of your viewers and everyone else that's watching. I want to lay those fears, I want to rest those fears for you right now, because when they talk about whether it be packing the courts or ending the filibuster, I will not vote to do that. I will not vote to pack the courts, I think, and I will not vote to end the filibuster. Brett, this system, the Senate, was so unique body in the world. It was made to work together in a bipartisan way. And once you start breaking down those barriers, then you lose every reason that we are the institution that we are, the most deliberate body. So I want to lay those fears to rest, that that won't happen, because I will not be the 50th Democrat voting to end that filibuster or to basically stack the court.
That is Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia, as he appeared on Special Report with Brett Baier, saying, I'm not going to go along with these progressives. I'm not going to get into stacking the court. I'm not going to end the filibuster. I'm going to uphold what we should have in the Senate. Well, the flak has already started to hit it. When he starts saying, I'm not going to do that, you know what their first response is from many? What started trending on social media? Talk of abolishing the Senate. Just abolish the Senate. We don't need no stinking Senate. Isn't that a great way for these guys to play? Anytime there's someone that goes against them, let's just abolish it. Like the police department. Abolish the police department. Now, for that matter, let's just, excuse me, Just abolish elections. Let's abolish all of that. If Biden gets in, we'll just end all of it. There will be no more elections. There are solid Democrats who are solid Americans. They believe in what we have is a two-party system. They believe in the checks and balances as set up by the Constitution and the division of powers between Congress, the president, and the courts. But we're hearing from the left now, well, if you're not going to play the ball game with us, we'll just take the ball and go home. So there, you're not going to have a game. So let's just shut down the Senate. Shut down the Senate? Are you serious? Yes, I am serious, for those who ask me. That's what they want to do. when Joe Manchin started saying, I'm not going to go along with these progressive ideas, he's trying to make it clear. He's trying to make it very clear that the problem is not just some of the ideas, it's the entire movement. And he says what they're pushing, what the far left is pushing, is wrong.
Defund the police. I don't know of any of the Democrats in the caucus that are for defunding the police. We're not for that whatsoever. And when they talk about basically Medicare for all, we can't even pay for Medicare for some. Doesn't make any sense at all. We've got to fix the Affordable Care Act we have, and I think our Republicans, moderate Republicans, will work with us to now repair what needs to be repaired.
Now, of course, he's in the Senate, and we were talking in the previous segment about Pelosi in the House, and she's facing a tough battle to hold her seat as House Speaker if she's not going to sign on to all the Green Deal, far-left nonsense AOC and others have been pushing at her. And now you move to the Senate, and Bernie Sanders, if Biden gets in, Bernie Sanders is apparently going to have a very big commanding position within the Labor Department, but he will have others inside the Senate doing his bidding as well. So reference all this effort about Manchin, and also in the previous segment, Missouri Congressman Cleaver, Democrat, in the Kansas City area, saying the American people don't want this stuff that they're trying to push on us. You've got response from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar calling out Manchin for making those remarks. And, of course, she's one of the four progressive Democrat congresswomen referred to as the Squad. She said in her tweet, "Stop worrying about progressives. This might be the reason we don't win the Senate races in Georgia." Good grief. Well, yeah, as the voting public in Georgia begins to realize, if we end up letting two Democrats from Georgia represent us in the Senate, the left will control the White House, the Senate, and the House. There'll be nothing to stop them from doing anything they want. If they decide to abolish the Senate, as some are saying, they might well try it, and they might well be effective. You say it's a joke? You think it's a joke? I'm looking at several comments that were posted by folks who were all about just get rid of the Senate. We don't need it anymore. These people are Looney Tunes all the way around. You get them in power, they will do it. Now, Manchin is going to face a lot of pressure. Brett Baer brought that up. He said, you've got Senator Chuck Schumer. And Senator Schumer's already said, we win Georgia, we win the world. So don't think he's going to allow you, Senator Manchin, to be a stumbling block in what he and the far left want to do. And let me stop for 1 second. I don't think Chuck Schumer wants to go that far left any more than Pelosi does. But this is political survival. Do they dare risk their entire political career in fighting against the progressive left that wants to go way, way left? Manchin was questioned by Baer about that pressure, the pressure you're going to face. What are you going to do?
If I can vote for Brett Kavanaugh, the only Democrat, if I can take that type of pressure, you don't think that I can basically justify what I'm going to be doing and how I'm going to vote, knowing that I'm sitting in the seat that Robert C. Byrd held, who wrote the rules of the Senate? This is an institution.
And you wouldn't
that has
become
be
a Republican.
Well, you don't need
whether
you're
a Democrat.
Whether you're D or not, right. I'm a proud, moderate, conservative Democrat. Maybe there's not many of us left, but I can tell you this country wants a moderation. This country, you run your life, you run your business from the middle, not from the fringes.
He's absolutely right about that. And as Congressman Cleaver said in the previous segment, people in my district, 5th Congressional District of Missouri, around the Kansas City area, they don't want that either. They're also moderate. Well, you have to look at how this landscape is changing. And I'm sure Congressman Cleaver paid very close attention to what happened in the last primary in Congressman Bill Clay's district. that had been previously held by his father for decades. How Cori Bush in the primary, she being one of the progressive left like AOC, primaried Lacey Clay and he lost. He's sitting at home now. And then she won, of course, and she's going to Congress as an added member of the squad. They will primary candidates. They will take them out. They will be just as clear as a mafiosa capping you in the knee or a bullet to the back of the head if you go against them. They're going to play for keeps in so many ways that you'll think, what happened to basic decency and honesty? I'm not going to say Republicans have not engaged in various actions like that in the past. I'm not going to say that. But deal with where we are right now. When you get folks starting to say, because a U.S. senator who's a Democrat says, I'm not going to go for abolishing the filibuster. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold to what we need. I'm not going to pack the court. The filibuster, I mean, this goes back to the way to make things stand. And the longest filibuster ever carried out, of course, was by a Democrat, Strom Thurmond, in the Civil Rights Act battle in 1957. For 24 hours and 18 minutes, he carried out a filibuster. Longest single-person filibuster in history, and it still stands. They have cloture that can kind of censor it. They have a nuclear option where you don't need the votes you would have needed to stop it. Oh, by the way, real quick on the Civil Rights Act of 57. That was when Eisenhower signed into law the bill in the Justice Department, powering the Justice Department and federal officials to prosecute individuals that conspired to deny or abridge your right to vote based on usually color. And now we've got those on the left saying, we don't need the Senate. Let's just get rid of it. Senator Manchin again.
I can tell you, this country wants a moderation. This country, you run your life, you run your business from the middle, not from the fringes. And that's where I've always been. So for something, whatever the message was, it was wrong for this many people to be split, for us not to be able to have a message that didn't scare the bejesus out of people. And when you're talking about basically Green New Deal and all this socialism, that's not who we are as a Democratic Party. It's not how I was raised in West Virginia. It's not the Democrats I know. But yet we've been tagged. If you have a D by your name, you must be for all the crazy stuff, and I'm not.
I'm not for the crazy stuff. Good for him. We'll see how long he lasts. And then you got the mainstream media that hides behind cover and darkness, even though they're out in public, to pull little shenanigans thinking, you won't ever catch me, you won't catch me, you won't know. Oh, we caught you, Jake Tapper. We got you and a couple others. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, we have some breaking news. I've got to get to you. I meant to put it in the last segment, but I got off on a roll. And the word has come down that the Democrat Senate candidate in the Tar Heel State, North Carolina, has conceded. So Senator Tom Tillis, Republican of North Carolina, wins that North Carolina Senate race that's up for grabs. So that means now the Republicans take the lead in the battle for the Senate. Now holding 49 seats, Democrats holding 48. Three seats are left. Alaska, Republicans still leading, will probably end up going to a Republican. But in Georgia, now if that happens in Alaska, Republicans would have 50 seats, Democrats 48. In Georgia, there are two runoff elections in January. Both of the senators in Georgia up for election, that post, I should say. That's why so critical Republicans win those two seats. Because if they don't, then those two seats go to the Democrats and you'll have a 50-50. And if Biden's in the White House, VP Kamala Harris will be casting the deciding ballot to break any ties. That's assuming all the Democrats hold to the left. Senator Manchin are indicating, if you're going to push some of these things, I will not stand with you. We'll wait and see. All right, I told you before we went to the break that we've got members of the media that are always hiding and ducking behind things. Trying. I am still incensed to no end. The other night, watching the election, with Fox News giving Donna Brazile a position on their panel to discuss elections. Donna Brazile, who had been a campaign advisor, supporter, and so forth for the Clinton campaign, was on CNN and all that, and then went to take over the Democrat National Committee for a period of time, and then fed questions of an upcoming interview, a debate, to Hillary Clinton, and said, "How dare you question me? I'm a Christian woman. I would never do that." Later had to admit she did. So I'm incensed to no end that Fox gave her a position. I expect it on the left stream media. And you got Jake Tapper, among all the others. He is now trying to basically make it clear, if you don't stand with us, you could be targeted. Targeted. He tweeted the other day, "I truly sympathize with those dealing with losing. It's not easy. But at a certain point, one has to think not only about what's best for the nation, peaceful transfer of power, but how any future employers might see your character define during adversity." That's right out of McCarthyism. Will make you put you on a blacklist. Yeah. And, of course, Jake Tapper had already been exposed back in September. He's trying to meddle in the Pennsylvania congressional election. He has a friend, Sean Parnell, who's a Republican, and was telling him, "Hey, don't run against the Democrat Congressman Connor Lamb. Don't do that. You could run better somewhere else, and don't do it." And Tapper says, "I was just advising him as a friend because I wasn't trying to tell him what to do." Well, he lied about it, got caught. Then finally I had to come around and say, "Well, I did, but I wasn't really trying to do anything like interfere with the election." The hell you weren't. And let me remind you that Tapper actually accused George W. Bush and Al Gore of plotting to steal the 2000 election. He wrote a book. I doubt you read it, but let me put it up in front of you. Down and Dirty, The Plot to Steal the Presidency. A blurb on the book on Amazon states both sides, Democrats and Republicans, plotted to steal the presidency in 2000. This guy had one time been the Washington correspondent for the left-wing online magazine Salon.com, later ABC News White House correspondent, then got his role at CNN, now hosts his own program, The Lead with Jake Tapper and State of the Union. And you are supposed to believe he's fair and unbalanced, right? I know I said unbalanced. I did it on purpose, testing you. You're supposed to be, he wants you to believe that he's fair and balanced. But yeah, I say he's unbalanced. Oh, and then you got John Meacham. You know who he is? He works as a contributor to MSNBC. The New York Times actually exposed him. Somebody's head's going to roll over that. MSNBC acknowledged that John Meacham, they've had him on the air. He's no longer going to be a paid contributor going forward because they now realize Meacham, who had appeared on MSNBC shortly before and after Biden's speech the other day, it's been introduced and not acknowledged that he wrote the speech for Biden. He wrote the speech and stands up there, bald-faced, lying on MSNBC about the good things in that speech. He wrote the damn thing. MSNBC is still using him, just say we're not going to pay him. I mean, after all, we like a guy like this that can do little shenanigans like that. Honesty in the press? Why don't you try to go into a pigsty and find one clean piece of ground in a pigsty? You won't find it. And unfortunately, we're becoming that same pigsty in our media. And I'm ashamed to say it is happening. We'll be back tomorrow. Let your friends and family know. 1 o'clock. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.